Welcome back to the Inside Trail. This week is episode 2 of Spew Union. Just a couple of blokes chatting about rugby. We're fortunate enough that the Rugby World Cup is on right now, so we actually have something to talk about. Now we're talking about Ireland, how they've been. You know, not exactly overly happy with how things are going, but you know, we've a chance to fix things up. But you know, we chat a little bit about, you know, the games, fixtures, group standings, how other teams are getting on. Pretty much it was just a once over the whole thing. So have a listen and let us know what you think. That's it really. Other than that, I actually don't really know what else I'm going to say to you today other than have a good weekend because, yeah, fantastic. Up the lads.
Is the Inside Trail.
Oh, unreal, unreal.
Get that idea.
Welcome back to our second episode of Spew Union, which is going to be our take on the Rugby World Cup over the next couple of weeks. Our first episode we did 2 weeks ago, so hopefully we'll get them every second week. Now, Hughie Fenlon here joins me instead of Conor Jennings, as we couldn't get a hold of Conor today. You know, busy man. But and then I'm joined again by Evan McDermott. So the three of us today, we're going to go through what the World Cup has brought over the last 2 weeks. You know, as we are from Ireland, I suppose the best place for us to start is Ireland. How did we get on in our predictions? Who was closest?
I got no predictions right, I don't think, apart from maybe Ireland by 10 plus.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to beat Japan, so
yeah, I'm not really real that way. Okay, so let's go to our Scottish game then, which was the game that we were kind of prepping for the last time we spoke. What did we think?
Scotland game, I thought there was a good performance in the first half in particular, but I thought it dropped off in the second half, especially 10 minutes in the second half. I thought we had a 50-minute performance, to be honest.
Mm.
And then after that it dropped off and we got a breakaway try in the second half, although Scotland did come out and play better, but I did think we played on our rugby in the first half.
Yeah,
Scotland were just so bad. It was a hugely positive performance, I thought, but then looking at the Japan match, we've gone just completely backwards. I couldn't believe my eyes watching that, the last 20 minutes of the Japan game. It made no sense.
It felt like a lot of them were just like, oh shit, they were either thinking that we've already lost, or they were like, this doesn't really matter, or something like that. I don't know, but there just wasn't that urgency that you would think, you know, Ireland against Japan, they're losing with, you know, 20 minutes ago, surely they're going to get the fucking finger out.
Yeah. But they were just expecting James Ryan to get the ball and make meters every single time.
Have you ever been at, like, you know, when you're playing, say, like a transition, your rugby game, and you're playing against... You sometimes play against like big 6 year schools and those ones, and it's like you've been hammered for the last 40 minutes and doing your best to hold on to the game, and then you don't want to know for the last 15 minutes when you're like, oh, I've just had enough. That's the Ireland team looked like.
Yeah,
there was a couple of players who stood out, and like for instance, like James Ryan stood out and wanted to keep
Josh
carrying.
Josh Hanclair was very good as well, I thought. And Gary Ringrose, I thought, was class.
Chris Brown made something like 15 tackles in that game.
Yeah, he did. So in the Japan game, the top tacklers were, it was James Ryan at 15 tackles and 15 carries.
James Ryan literally covers so much ground.
His stats in all the games, he's top of carries and tackles out of all the Irish players. I went through the games that he played in, and for the Scotland game, he had 14 tackles, 15 carries. But the one thing I would like to say is our turnover rate. Is so in a Scotland game, our turnover rate, we had 51% possession. We had there was far less turnovers in that game. I think there was only 9 turnovers, I'd say 11 turnovers in the Scotland game. And then in the Japan game, we had had 9 penalties and 15 turnovers,
yeah.
but we only had 49% possession. But the Russia game was the poorest of all. I know we had the most possession in the Russia game, so you think if you had the ball in hand, more as Dan was saying, you would have more turnovers, but we gave away 23 turnovers.
That's ridiculous.
23. Yeah. So you've basically doubled your figures from your other games. Well, from your, especially your Scotland game, your best performance. You've doubled it. And I know we won that game handily, wet conditions.
Yeah, I wonder how much the like humidity in the stadium will come into that. And like there was a lot of drop balls. Like I think Bundy Yaki himself had like 4 drop balls.
Bundy did not have a good game.
Yeah, it was so bad.
Like he didn't have his best game, especially to the standard that you would hold Bundy to play at every week. I personally don't think he had a great game. There was a lot of drop balls. There was a lot of position errors. Like I still think he is our best 12, don't get me wrong, but I think against Russia you would have expected him to dominate him.
If we get to the quarterfinal, he's not going to be playing us.
No?
No, I think the only reason they're holding on to Robbie Henshaw, I think.
Well, like, have we, like, so what do we think is our case with Henshaw? Like, is he going to be 100%?
I think so, yeah. Well, he's been doing all the, like, training with him, and he did the captain's run there before the Russia game, so he looks like he's fit, but... I think that's the only possible reason they could be holding on to him. And Bunny just didn't perform. And I think Gary Ramos has solidified his position.
Yeah,
his third
that's,
game.
Yeah.
I think he's been probably our player of the tournament so far.
Henshaw's probably on the plane home if he isn't in Joe Schmidt's plan for the next couple of weeks. So, yeah, you probably are right in that.
It's either that or they just don't have anyone else to call up.
Yeah.
One thing I would say
I'm free if they need anyone to play 12. Like.
One thing Ireland have been accused of in recent times before coming into the World Cup and in the World Cup is like our lack of creativity. And I think by having Henshaw and Ringrose in the centres, it's our most creative partnership. Although Aki has moments of brilliance, like he did have coming into the World Cup.
Against the Wales.
He does, however, from open play, generally, he wraps up the ball and he's a big ball carrier. And he doesn't allow that offloading game where Henshaw is that expert at pace and is more creative in the offload to maybe expose and get outside with Ringrose.
And Robbie Henshaw's defence is class, and so is Gary Ringrose.
Yeah.
So. Like, you're watching the South Africa game today, like we can get at them. Italy were getting at them so much.
Yeah. I really thought that red card in the Italy game,
but that's
really,
if he gets South Africa,
that really could have, like, it could have changed the game. Like, I know obviously what he did was fucking red card.
It should have been a double red card.
Yeah,
so I don't know why he only gave it to one of the players.
It's weird to see that's the first red card that was given in the World Cup, considering all the different things that have happened. You know, there was a lot of shit going on about refs not having the bottle to give the red cards. Like, there was, like, in the Samoa
Russia game. Like, Samoa lads were just trying to take the heads off the Russian players.
There were some tackles there, but which aren't.
Shoulder on forehead.
Should never be seen.
Fullback Artemov, he just got his head and nearly got taken off the block like 3 times.
Yeah.
So, you know, our next game is against, you know, that team who are just pummeling, you know. So, are we, like, the one thing I'm scared about this Samoa game, it's not that we're going to lose, but it's that we're going to lose some personnel. Because I reckon these Samoan they're probably... I can't believe I said it again. But I just can't believe... Oh, why do I do this all the time?
I would say that the main thing you got to look at is, look, we need to get 5 points in this game. You get the bonus point, you need the bonus point win. If you get the bonus point win, you put it beyond any doubt that you're through to the World Cup quarterfinals, which you came out, which you set out to do at the start of the World Cup. So you're going to have to put out Sexton. That's right. Is he at least for 40 minutes?
I think he's going to be like, get the bonus point, ideally before halftime, get a takeoff, change, like, put your eight subs on.
But they're going to have to be out there. And I know that is your threat, because you think, one thing we saw and we learned is when Johnny Sexton is on the pitch, the Ireland team, territorial-wise.
Yeah. And just leadership-wise as well. Like, they don't know what they're doing.
He's a key factor for the Irish
team. That's very hard for someone to step into his shoes, whether it's Jack Carty or, you know,
it's
Carberry
not just his fault, I think, though. Yeah. That the people say that it's Carty that he comes in, a lot of pressure being on him, though. He's played well as well, but I just think it's just everyone's used to the way Sexton operates.
Yeah, but our system is built around Johnny Sexton, and it's built around his ability to control his forwards, to be able to connect well with his outside backs.
Oh, for sure.
And I just don't think Cardi has had enough time in an Irish jersey. And also, you know, playing over in Connacht, it's a very different system, whereas I feel like Leinster's system is a lot more structured. It's a lot more
Schmidt
like the Irish system. And Schmidt, you know, he came out of that Leinster system, you know.
Yeah.
So I do think that's... We do rely on him a lot, and I just... Fucking fingers crossed that's not something that we're gonna have to.
I have an unpopular opinion though that I think that tomorrow Japan won't get a bonus point win against Samoa. I think they'll get the 4 points for the win. They'll move to 13 points then. We're currently on 11.
Yeah.
Then if we get to 5 points, get to 16, right, I think that Scotland will beat Japan. And Japan may get a bonus point loss than that. But that'll really put them at 14 points, which would inevitably mean we top the group.
Yeah, I know.
That Scotland team that played small, do you think their points against small?
Yeah.
If that Scotland team played like that, they did against an Ireland team like that, they would have been a much tighter contest.
Yeah.
So we think, so your prediction is that you think it'll be us and Scotland coming out?
I think so.
And they'll beat Japan?
Yeah, I think they will.
I think Scotland are going to beat Japan as well, which is so heartbreaking for the Japanese.
But I just feel like it's like the last World Cup, you know, they've got that big game in them and the shock, and it's great for Japan, it's great for the culture, but I just don't see them being big enough contenders that they're actually going to go somewhere in the World Cup.
They were, they had a very rounded performance against Ireland.
Oh, 100%.
The one thing I would take, they didn't look like the underdogs in the last 3 minutes, we looked like the underdogs hanging on.
That's fair.
You know,
Yeah, the scoreline just didn't reflect the second half at all. Like, no. We didn't score for 57 minutes, I think, after... Like, our last score was in the, 33rd minute, I think?
Yeah.
Which is shocking. Mm. Like, absolutely... 23rd minute, I think, actually. Mm. It's absolutely shocking. I honestly couldn't believe it. I went to a live event to watch it last Saturday, and... I nearly wanted to just leave, but 20 minutes ago, it was terrible.
And what did we think of our penalty count against Japan?
The penalty count?
I know that there was a bit of him and Han and about, you know, three or four penalties.
I think we had seven in the first half, though, and that was the same amount.
And all of them, they're all in kicking distance as well, and they're all around the 10-meter line. But the one thing I would say is, well, the breakdown across and the offside line across the whole World Cup when watching the games has been refereed far poorly than it has before, and I don't understand the reasoning for it. I don't know if penalties, if refs want the game to flow or they want more competition at the breakdown, because at the moment there's people are going in off their feet, or they're bridging over the ball and not supporting their own weight, and they're not being picked up. And it's just in the inconsistency at the breakdown.
It's just the offside line just isn't, like, some refs, like Wayne Barnes, I think, like I put him as the best ref in the world at the moment. Like, he is so clear on what he wants from, like, the both sets of players. Whereas, like, Romain Poit and Garcés, they just, like, let go at it and, like, I decide when there's a penalty or not. Yeah. Like, you don't know.
As a player, like, going in, you're like, is this, like, you're on the edge, and then you get pinged suddenly when you've been doing it the whole time.
The French referees is just fairly tragic at the moment, like, and how they're refereeing, like, it's just terrible. Like, they're killing games.
I do.
And Angus Gardner just wasn't as good. It wasn't that great.
That's not the reason why Ireland.
No, I'm not saying it is, but like, it definitely could have swung it in different favours. Like, I think it would have been much closer.
I really hope that over the next, you know, what have we got, a month left of the World Cup, I really hope that the standard of refereeing is... I'm sure after the group stages, you know, and as it goes into quarterfinals and semifinals, like, it's the better ref that I'll get.
Well, yeah, you've seen how they basically shunted Angus Gardner out of the game.
So. Yeah, so, you know, and that's, you know, that's unfortunate for him and whatever, but, you know, I feel like it's important that these games are refed properly and fairly.
Definitely.
And,
like, they've been prepping for this for 4 years, the players ever
and they're getting paid fucking well for it as well. Do you know,
it's not an easy job, do you think?
No, it's not an easy job.
I don't agree with World Rugby came out and said, because if you think about it, World Rugby equivalent of your, like, trade union for your referees, they came out and they didn't protect the referees whatsoever.
Yeah, they were like, we're just not happy with how their games have been run at the moment.
They're like, I don't think that's acceptable from them. Yeah, they should be putting things in place, like,
they take the blame,
CPD almost, things for placing for referees to learn and better.
But I think we think it's up to, like, the linesman to call the offside line. Like, the ref has a lot to do, like, looking at the ruck, and he can't be. But the linesman just haven't been, and the touch judges just haven't been helping them at all.
No.
Which is disappointing.
And then, okay, so that's our kind of pool A.
Yeah.
So our pool B. So we saw New Zealand beat South Africa. Then today we obviously saw South Africa beat Italy quite well. After that red card. Canada and Namibia still on, both on zero, I believe. So
I can't see them. You know, that's going to be the battle, the biggest battle in World Cup history.
Yeah. Canada, so, you know, it's probably the, you know, it's South Africa and New Zealand pretty much coming out of there. I don't really see it going any other way, unless either you have a fixture up your sleeves that you think could.
Unless New Zealand want to lose on purpose, so then South Africa get. Because I think at the moment, I think if New Zealand's get a losing bonus point and Italy get a bonus point, try bonus point and win, they go through in second place instead of South Africa.
Oh, because the head to head.
Yeah. No, because I think they.
That's. I don't think that's been updated from this morning.
Oh, so.
No, it has.
Oh, no, it has, yeah.
Yeah.
So if Italy get a losing bonus point.
If Italy get a winning bonus point and win, and New Zealand get a losing bonus point, they go through. But Italy and New Zealand go through. That'd be absolutely class.
I would love to meet Italy in the quarterfinal instead of South Africa.
Imagine Japan got Italy in the quarterfinal. Oh my god.
I think going forward for the Ireland team, though, if they're playing either New Zealand or South Africa, obviously you'd prefer to get South Africa out of that.
It doesn't really matter though.
At knockout stages, you've got to have to perform the best. Yeah. And I think at that stage, I think South Africa, they're a dangerous team in the World Cup. Look at the World Cups they've won. You know?
They lost Creel.
Yeah, Jesse Creel sent home.
Creel.
And. Chelby, what's his name?
Cheslin Colby.
Yeah, Chelby. Yeah. Cheslin Colby. He looked like he was fairly injured at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Went off with a bad ankle injury.
He's
I'm not
fit.
Sure. Yeah, he's absolutely incredible. I think he's got man of the match in every game he's played so far.
Love that. Any other injuries across the board? Any? Obviously, we have
Hamish
to give...
Watson, that was pretty disappointing for Scotland. I think he's their best player.
Yeah.
So that's safe for them. Yeah. And
it's also like what I was saying to you beforehand is we're like that back row, that Irish back row, you know, losing Jack Conan at 8, and then obviously Jordy Murphy's
ribs
is flown out from it. He's a, you know, dislocated rib or something with the rib anyway, but he hasn't been sent home.
No.
So, and they haven't got
10 minutes.
Yeah, so, you know, he's obviously, he doesn't want to go home. Obviously, he doesn't want to go home, but the fact that they haven't made a call on it yet means that he probably could be okay.
Yeah.
And there's a big break this week. But who are we calling on next?
Devin Toner, I think.
Yeah,
Devin Toner in the
8. Yeah, tiebreaker.
Well, I think if he comes in, he could easily slip into the starting lineup for the quarterfinal.
I was looking at the stats earlier. I was thinking your second rounds would be your workhouse of the team. So I think like James Ryan's top of all the stats, but Tadhg Byrne's game against. In the Rush game, his stats were above
most
players.
He's been quite quiet.
He's quite quiet, but that the stats in the Russian game are actually, if you look at it, okay, carries are just numbers, but if you look at effective carries,
yeah.
I know he carried a good few times, it didn't make a huge amount of ground.
Yeah.
You need to take that into account. Same with James Ryan, the top of the carries isn't being good enough. They need to be effective carries. But I do think if those two lads, if you had Tadhg Byrne, you had James Ryan in second row, they get through an awful amount of work. Look at the rucks hit, and that just makes the ball quicker and easier, faster ball coming out of the rucks, and it just the team performs better. It's the work you don't see.
Yeah.
You know, the team performs better as a result of it. But
well, all I can say is that Sean Klein, I don't know what Joe Schmidt was thinking bringing that lad in.
Literally
he has
seen
been absolutely
impressive.
Shocking.
Yeah, I don't think
in every right. game he's played.
I think it was a huge call by Schmidt. I don't think it was the right call.
Yeah, unless like he's waiting for South Africa to have the game of his life, but so far he has been muck.
Yeah. Right, so we move on to our Pool C. So obviously England play Argentina tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
England have been, you know, they've been doing, you know, 2 bonus points, am I right in saying that?
They've maxed their points.
They're, you know, max points at the minute, you know, but then again, you know,
both games they weren't that great. Like I didn't think they showed anything. They probably they're playing weak enough opponents. What was it, Tonga and USA? So
it was a nice start to them.
Yeah.
But as we said, you know, they do have their 2 biggest games
coming up.
You know, they've Argentina tomorrow and they've France at the end of next week. So they've got a bit of a battering ahead of them. But
yeah, and then they go straight into the quarterfinals, like we were saying in the last podcast. Like their schedule is very tough. So this will be the making and breaking of.
Mm-hmm.
England.
Who's been, you know, someone in the England team that's stood out?
I think Manu Tuilagi has been absolutely ridiculous.
It's actually crazy how he's just jumped back onto the scene.
He's just so dominant.
Mm. Yeah, he's a baller.
He's just really, really good player.
Gets gain on every time he carries it.
Yeah.
At least.
Fantastic.
So, who do we think is going to, you know,
come
second out of that group?
I assume
that we think England will win the
group.
Yeah,
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I just see that Argentina tomorrow. I think it's going to be a really good game to watch tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
However, that Argentina team were so ill-disciplined against France.
Argentina,
they're flanker.
Yeah, no, like
they're
even their super rugby team is unbelievably ill-disciplined.
Their 6 gave away 4 penalties in the second half.
Mm.
Okay, we're saying the referee, but like they were blatant penalties and all at ruck time. Like, and it was just, they were just blatant penalties and they never subbed them whatsoever. But yeah, I just thought that that Argentina is far too disciplined. Like, England will capitalise on that. Like.
Yeah, they play incredible rugby though.
It's great to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. It's exciting rugby. Like,
yeah.
I thought Argentina would be France, to be honest.
Yeah,
that's. I was really shocked. Like, I got up, watched that game. I was just really shocked by
it. And again, France nearly capitulated.
Yeah. That was, Picamo was miles offside when Argentina were attacking there at the end of the game, and it should have been a penalty, and they gave the turnover. That was just poor refereeing. But I thought Argentina would win that game.
So who's your choice to come through with England?
I think France will go through.
France?
In second.
Mm. Yeah, and they flat out to deceive against the USA.
Yeah.
They were, it was 12-9 10 minutes ago on the
goal. And then they scored like 3 tries. AJ McGinty played absolutely incredible.
Yeah,
he's very good.
Huge.
Yeah, I'd say
he's a really, really good player. Like,
it's mad when you see the players who you know that it's not their country and then they're playing it. Like, the, you know, the amount, obviously we have a couple of them playing in the Irish team, but it's great when you see an Irish fella out doing bets for someone else. Like, like the fella, the Russian man who went to Blackrock.
Yeah, he's playing well with them.
Yeah,
so,
he's mad.
And he sees the interviews after the game as well. He's the most positive person
man,
ever.
Man, he's a gem on top of
like
the world.
Like, people are like the person who was interviewing him was trying to like get, because it was after a snow game and like he's nearly got his head knocked off him, like 3 times. So like they were trying to get some quotes out of him. He was like, "Ah, don't worry, man, don't worry." He has a gas accent as well. It's like a Russian accent mixed with D4.
so far we have Ireland, Scotland coming out of Group A, South Africa, New Zealand coming out of Group B, and England, France coming out of Group C.
And then on to our final pool, which is Wales, Fiji, Australia. Now, that I really didn't expect Wales to beat Australia.
Yeah.
Personally, I thought Australia were going to be one of the, you know, top.
Yeah, Australia played very well. They just let Wales, like, they gave them such a head start, like, at start. Mm-hmm. They just didn't play at all.
Wales' defensive system as well, though, I think
we're good.
They work very well. It's, you know, Wales have a similar, you know, to us in that way, in that, like, it's all about systems.
Oh yeah, structures and plays.
You know, when a team with systems meets a team with flair, you know, if the systems play well, they'll win.
Yeah.
Which I think that is what Wales did well. But they also, you know, their backs were, like, I think Dan Biggar brings a little bit of something else to them.
Mm.
Like, I know Gareth Anscombe probably would have been their first choice.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah.
But he is, like, I do, I'm a big fan of Bigger.
I think he directs the game.
Yeah,
can't
get that camera. Oh, he's fucking, right, you just keep talking about that. There you go. Alright, go on.
And, I thought, remember that was an Australia team who struggled against Fiji. It was, like, I'm not, no disrespect to Fiji whatsoever, but, like, Fiji are a team which I think aren't at the top tier.
And Fiji lost to Uruguay in the match after that as
Yeah,
well,
so, like,
so.
You don't know if Fiji put such emphasis in that game that was to get them through the World Cup, but I just thought that was a poor Australian team and then they obviously needed to up their performance against Wales, did so, but at the end of the day I think that Wales team were playing against a weaker Australia team at the moment. They're not, who weren't in form.
So Australia are playing they're playing Uruguay next, and I think they're starting this, they have this player, Jordan Petia, I think his second name is, so I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but he's from Queensland Reds, and he's only like 19, and he's absolutely class. He like was playing like skills rugby like last year.
Was he?
What position is it?
He's like full back, but he's playing on the wing tomorrow. Very good. And in the Wales game, the Australia brought on Matt Tumua. He changed the game a lot, and he, like, Bernard Foley, I think, moved into 12, and then Matt Tumua went to 10. Like, he was class when he came on. And James O'Connor was, again, brilliant.
Yeah.
Such a waste of talent, though, like, what he's been up to the last 7 years.
Yeah.
It's good to see, though, that he is back.
Oh, no, yeah.
Like, obviously, I know the Australian Rugby Union are very strict on that kind of shit, you know, like, Craig Cooper as well is another one who was just kind of pushed to the side, but it is.
Yeah, well, he was a bit of a clown.
Yeah, but so was James Conner during his day. So it's good to see that they can get their redemption if they're willing to, you know, play ball. Okay, so then we've kind of gone through our groups then and kind of the current standings and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So and we've kind of highlighted some of the games that we're looking forward to that are important. So just over the next week, obviously we've got Saturday morning. Which is tomorrow morning, is the England-Argentina game. That's big. That's, you know, close to a decider.
Yeah, it's England by about 10 though.
Yeah, yeah. England by 10. Evan?
Yeah, I think England will sneak it. I'd say Argentina will pull it up to them, then England will just have too much power.
Yeah. I'd say England might even pull away more than 10, to be honest. Like, if you get that England team, what's the England team? Have we got a...
Yeah, it's quite good.
I think
Joe Marler, Jamie George, Klein Sinclair, Atoje, Cruz, Tom Curry, Underhill, Vinopal. Like, it's pretty,
yeah, it's pretty much
the team. Although they moved Anthony Watson to the wing, put Elliot Daly at fullback. But other than that, it's fairly full strength. And like Mako was on the bench. That's his first game, I think, back. Yeah. They're just fair.
It's a big day on Saturday, because then straight after we've got that Japan and Samoa game. Obviously, that's important for our group, but
yeah,
not exactly a massively exciting game overall.
Battle Pacific.
Then a lot of the other games kind of early on in the week, you know, New Zealand play Namibia, France play Tonga. You kind of hope you know which way both of those games go. Then South Africa, Canada, Argentina, USA, Scotland, Russia. I think
that's gonna be a huge game.
It is a big game. I really don't see Russia winning.
No, I don't know.
I think Scotland
lose that, they might as well just never play rugby again.
Yeah, I think if Scotland lose that game,
put all their resources into cricket or something.
Yeah, no, just all of the football, just all of the Rangers, just literally.
Why Rangers and not Celtic? Are you weirdo?
I don't know. Like, just the first one that came to my head, like, yeah, but like if Scotland lost to Russia, that'll blow our. Our whole group into weird, like, potential.
Well, if Scotland lost to Russia, it wouldn't really affect us. We're just already through then.
No, but it just means that Scotland beating Japan, that's still...
Well, if Scotland lose to Russia, they will not lose three games in a group, because if they do, then they definitely...
they definitely need to give up rugby.
Because, and, like, I think, obviously, we need Scotland to, like, be in the hunt for second place,
yeah,
but regardless, they're still going to want to go out and perform, like...
Yeah. Scotland only lost one game here now, like, and they've had one poor performance, and then they came in and they had one really good performance, so you don't really know what to expect. And I think tomorrow, regardless of the result, to be honest, you don't really know to the play Japan. You won't.
The only thing I'd be afraid of is Scotland have only a 4-day turnaround, I think, to that match against Japan, whereas Japan have a full week.
The fixtures and the gaps, who were they made by?
Japan got to pick their own fixtures.
That's what I was like. I was like, it's perfectly placed to Japan. The way they let the two top seeds play each other, then they play what's left, go at it. And there was one thing that was actually a key point that was made by an analyst, was he said that Ireland would be preparing for the South Africa game for almost two years. But it was like Japan preparing for the Ireland game for the last exactly 2 years. Yeah, and it was like Ireland only started preparing for the Japan game the week before.
Yeah.
And it was just like, you could see it though, like Joe Schmidt's game was completely involved, was completely encapsulated around winning the contact area. We had a training session with him, and he was always about winning the contact area, because then the ruck is made easier to win and the clean outs get quicker ball. Against Japan, they won the contact area. They blatantly won the contacts when we went in, and then we couldn't then create a platform in order to make line breaks and be creative as a result of that. So I think that'll be really interesting to see if Japan can do that against.
Our attack went so narrow as well. I feel like none of the passes were a bigger distance than 5 meters, which is shocking.
I don't know if that's because conditions.
I suppose they're probably just like
wet ball. You can't sling it. But you see New Zealand and stuff with that playing. Yeah. And I don't know what the conditions are when they play South Africa, but
I think they're just in general better hands, I guess.
So. Yeah, the skill set.
Yeah.
That's one thing.
One other thing I wanted to get your opinion on is the attitude that our media has towards what's going on now. Like, I feel like we're...
It's doom and gloom. Like, it is.
I feel like the whole world is falling apart. Do you know what I mean? Like,
you just need to, like, after the Japan match, I follow Ian McKenna on Twitter and I just muted him because I just couldn't take... And Neil Francis, I'm not sure, he has an article out today, and it's like, Ireland might as well pack their bags and head home.
Yeah.
it's ridiculous.
What do you mean? Like,
he was like literally saying after the Scotland game, we're definitely the top three contenders. Like, he changed his mind
It's ridiculous though, but it's like,
I feel like them,
it's hyperbole. Like,
they have to write about
something. Oh yeah, they're just getting views.
Yeah,
100%. It's just a frustration. Like, I'm like, it's just annoying.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, I think we need to have more kind of consistent attitude towards the team, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's constantly up and down, like.
And like, even if you look at the 2011 World Cup, or the 2011 World Cup, France like lost their first opening game, and then they got to the final against New Zealand, and nearly could have won it.
Mm.
They probably should have won it.
Mm.
And in 2007, England lost the group match, and they got to the final.
Yeah,
like teams can recover.
Yeah.
Obviously, we haven't put the performance together so far, but our quarterfinal match doesn't, like, the group stages don't really matter when it comes to the quarterfinal, because we're always going to put up to, like, it's their biggest game of the last 4 years when we play that quarterfinal.
Yeah.
So.
And that's what the team been aiming for, because the Irish team, Joe Smith said it when they landed in Japan. He was like, look, if we don't get past the quarterfinal, it's kind of, it's essentially, I'm going to paraphrase him, but he said it essentially, it's a failure as far as team regards are, because that's the target we've hit, because we haven't got past there. So he's like, getting past semi-finals, bonus, but he was like, semi-final's the target.
Yeah.
So at the same time, know that, and there's no Medivan, and know he's been under criticism for us, well, but like, look where he's gotten us to world number one. Like.
Yeah. And
so
we haven't used any
world number four.
I know, but he got us world number one.
Yeah, I know, fair, but like, you know, it's
beat the All Blacks for the first time. There's different things he's gotten along the way, and he didn't get there by chance.
Yeah, no, but I suppose it's all and well to, like, it is great that we beat the All Blacks, you know, and it is great that we stopped England and the All Blacks, you know, and beating that world record of 19 games on the trot unbeaten. But at the same time, you know, silverware and trophies are what, you know, you...
Grand slams.
Grand slams. You know, that's what... But I mean, like, if it... You know, we are at the World Cup.
I know.
What is going
that's
on.
What I'm saying. I'm trusting in what's coming. Like.
Yeah. Yeah, no, fair. I'm just...
One swallow doesn't make a summer, so...
Yeah. I just feel like there's just something that just feels like it's missing. I don't know what, like, obviously I'm not throwing the thing out of the
ground. Yeah.
I do think we still have the potential to turn this around and have a great campaign, but I'm not really sure what it is. Maybe it is, you know, just need to get, you know,
I'm being curtain nerves. It's a huge platform to play on, like
I suppose,
and Ireland haven't performed the World Cups in previous years, so it could generally be nerves, but at the same time, the people have been criticised, these professionals, and that's their job to play.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there would be an immense pressure on them to play well.
Yeah.
And especially coming in as world number ones. I wasn't liking the fact that we went in as world number one.
I didn't like it either.
I think Irish teams perform better when they're underdogs.
Yeah. But again, that doesn't really matter. Like, at the end of the day, like, we've come into all these World Cups sometimes underdogs, sometimes favourites, like, and it hasn't made a difference.
No.
If we do get knocked out in the quarterfinal, there's going to have to just be a completely... like an internal investigation to what
the actually FAI job.
I would like to know. Do you have
like what's going wrong?
But like, our last World Cup, we literally sat back, and as soon as that World Cup was over, we had a couple of people injured, and we said, you know what, it's actually alright, because we're actually building this team for the next World Cup. And they highlighted players like Ringrose and Ryan and all these players who are going to get us there the next time. But we talked a lot about that 4 years ago, and now we're here, and now it's just... Are we going to do that again?
And it's not like we're missing key players, because we're not.
No.
We have Dan Levy missing. And
Dan Levy and Sean O'Brien are missing.
Yeah, but even still, like, I'm not sure if Sean O'Brien would have been starting. Dan Levy would definitely have started.
Dan Levy would have been, Sean O'Brien definitely contention.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Dan Levy would probably have been a little bit ahead of Sean O'Brien for contention, purely because he's an animal. Sean O'Brien hasn't really been able to shake off injuries the last while. But I think Dan Levy is a massive loss.
Yeah.
I just think... Our back row cover, you know, I always felt like we had such a really, really good depth in it, whereas it just feels like it's slowly starting to narrow. I know we've got O'Mahony there and Standard there, and obviously you've got a great start in back row.
Played very well.
Reece Ruddock played great today, but, you know, after that, it's like, who's your sub back row now tomorrow?
Yeah, I know. I feel like, the cover's kind of gone. For an Irish back row, with Jordy Murphy as well has come out, but he's looking injured, but... At the same time, the Ireland back row used to be formidable. Remember, sure, you had Heaslip, remember Ferris?
Yeah,
and
the last World Cup was class. Not the last World Cup, the World Cup before that. Stephen Ferris, Sean O'Brien, Heaslip.
Yeah.
Like, that was silly. I think David Wallace was in that back row as well. It was absolutely class. But yeah, we have had bad injuries, I suppose. Like, in the middle of this campaign, like 2 years ago, we were planning with Sean O'Brien, Heaslip. Like, we've completely had to change that, I guess. Like,
yeah.
But... that doesn't matter though. Like, a lot of teams have had to do that. So
yeah, we still have the caliber player too, but we're just not producing the performance to this edge.
And then just slightly away from the World Cup, but it's weird seeing, I don't know, well, not weird, but it's great to see the all our, you know, provincial clubs that they're putting out. You know, young players are all getting their time out now. You know, obviously, we're at that age now where we know a lot of them, or like would have known them from school, yeah, or whatever, that they're finally getting their breakthroughs. So I don't know if you saw the Leinster team, Evan. Can you get the Leinster team for today?
Yeah, I'm here now.
But yeah, like you know, there's a couple of lads in Black Rock in our year, whether it's playing Leinster A or, you know, Leinster senior team, and they're at home to Ospreys, I believe. Am I right?
The squad at the back row is pretty cool as well. Like, Kenneth Harris at age, and Will Connors is back as well, which is great because he's been out for what, nearly 16 months or something with his ACL. But
I'm trying to think what else. Ronan Kelleher, also our year starts at hooker, I believe.
Is he?
I think so.
Yeah, Ronan Kelleher starting. Devin Toner and Scott Verdi. So I'll be interested to see if Devin Toner's pulled from that, because if he is, I think that suggests that he's...
Well, it kicks off in 2 hours, so...
Yeah. But you probably won't find out until an hour before.
Yeah.
Max Deegan's on the bench as well.
Who's 8?
Kenneth Harris.
And then 6-7?
Josh Murphy and Will Connors.
Good back.
Good for Josh Murphy getting a shout. He's been in there for
and
a
Harry
while.
Harry Burns on the bench as well.
Conor O'Brien back. Yeah, and then even like obviously when those kind of senior academy players who are starting to get their senior contracts, when they start to get the senior team, it's obviously it's great to see that the Leinster A team is now being built up by lads who
were a couple of years below us, you know.
Yeah, that's
Alex Rogge's on the bench.
Yeah,
he's on the Leinster A's.
Yeah, pretty cool.
I think he's the first one from that age group to make.
He's three years below.
Well, he has 2 years at under 20, so he's only 18, or he's only 19. 19s now.
Yeah,
so he's playing a year off playing for Leinster, which is great.
That's pretty fresh. Yeah. Congratulations, Alex, if you ever see this. But then also obviously with the Munster, I'm not as informed with the Munster team, but they're obviously the same, that their players are, you know, being fed in, the young players.
It's good for the system.
It's a great time for them, and it is, you know, although I didn't want to say we are looking forward to the next World Cup, but it is important obviously that these players get that time. I know it'll always be. Where is the next World Cup after Japan?
It's in France.
France got it again, though.
You know,
disputable.
A bit
of the FIFA hype.
See, I just don't think we have the infrastructure to host a World Cup yet.
We don't currently, but I do think that.
Are you going to have matches in Parnell Park?
No.
Sample stadium. They do. You have Sample Stadium. You have the Limerick. You have the Limerick grounds. You have obviously Raven Hill. You have Croke Park.
They were going to use Cason Park. They were going to redevelop that in Antrim, which is a huge stadium. RDS, Aviva, Croke Park. Yeah, like there's plenty of stadiums. I don't think we'd be worrying about stadiums. I think it's probably just accommodation, and most people, if there was much, since like the max you can travel is 3 hours, most people would base themselves in Dublin, and I don't think Dublin would be able to cater for all that.
But
even still, though,
it'd be kind of shit if you were the team that got put in fucking Sligo for the fucking
Like that's the same with Japan. Like Ireland have been staying in like country like places off beaten track as well, and like they have a really good transport system, obviously with bullet trains where you can go anywhere in the whole island within like 3 hours. But like it was awarded last year, so that would have given us 5 years to put like a plan in motion,
build a metro,
build a metro, that's always the answer.
Just get fast trains, like just need fast trains.
Just anyone else have anything rugby related that they want to heard in the last couple of days, anything like that, World Cup related, Leinster related, school rugby related, if you're really interested?
Apparently the bets that Rob Halley were putting on were crazy. I was reading stuff online about them, and obviously I'm not sure if this is true or not, but apparently he put on a bet of a player to miss out on the panel.
Surely not.
It's a bit ridiculous.
So if Rob Halley is watching, you are a tosser.
You are a piper.
I'm in that bombshell.
Hughie, anything else to add?
No, not particularly. Now, I would say if I was call out who really thinks will win the World Cup, prediction on who's going to win it, and who's going to be in the final.
Right, so
two finals.
New Zealand, Ireland, still going for it.
Are you?
the belief is still there.
I think New Zealand definitely. I don't want to see anyone beating New Zealand, to be honest, at this stage. I think anyone.
Who would New Zealand meet in that semi final?
They would meet either
Wales
or England, is it?
Yeah. Wales or France, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, France. Wales and France, yeah.
And the French, like that. The All Blacks are pretty fresh.
I don't see the French beating
them. I don't see the French beating them either, but
I think England or Ireland are the only teams that can, and maybe South Africa are the only teams that can beat New Zealand.
Yeah, I'd say in the final, the South African team did look vulnerable, but I have to say,
I think
England,
Wales,
play South Africa. I think England, New Zealand probably, if not Ireland, New Zealand.
And do you think the same?
Yeah, I think Ireland, New Zealand, and then New Zealand will win. But it's final, anything can happen. Although, we should not be looking for... I should not be saying Ireland.
Yeah.
Ireland have shown absolutely nothing to give me a hope.
Yeah,
that.
My heart says Ireland, New Zealand.
I'm living
in
2018, I think.
I'm going to go ahead and... I don't actually think Ireland are going to get to the final. I do. I do think we will... I think we can beat South Africa, and I think it'll be great that we get past the quarterfinal. But I feel like that could be our game. You know, the game where we, I don't really... Well, you know, it depends how
you
we save play. And come out of that. But I feel like, depending on who we get in the semi-final, you know, the fact that we've been focusing so much on this South Africa game, it's like, are you ready for what? I know, obviously, as a player, but I just think it could be fucking... It could be interesting. Also, one thing I really, really, really would like to see Kirby playing. I just need to see him.
I'm not sure if he's fit though.
I know, but I need him to just fucking tape it up, like.
Yeah.
Hey, I know that's.
Put on the magic tape, put it in the water, squirt it
on it. And, okay, and then to finish us off, one player from the Irish squad that you have been particularly impressed with, maybe not someone that you were expecting, but. Is there anyone who you think is, you know, playing quite well?
Dave Kilcoyne, I think, when he comes on.
He's
just a lunatic. Does not give a
fuck. No, carries. Carries have been immense. I would also say Ringrose has come into form recently.
Yeah, I think I definitely, the last time we spoke, I probably talked him down a little bit, and I'm happy I've been proved wrong. He's stepping up, and that's good. Ruddock is another one.
In the last game, Ruddock. I'm not a fan of Reece Ruddock, to be honest. I haven't been beforehand.
You need to whisper that, it's going to hear
you. But in case you can hear me, I'm Japan.
Yeah.
But I wasn't a fan of him. But in that game, in the last game, I thought he was very, very good.
He was very effective.
He made, it was one or two line breaks, and his carries gave his game.
Yeah, he scored.
I thought he was very effective, so I think he's been impressive.
Yeah. Well, you know, hopefully we'll get to do this again. Fingers crossed that by the time, what day is the Ireland Samoa game, or what day even?
That's next Saturday.
12th.
Next Saturday. Okay, so probably the next time. What day is the quarterfinal? Okay, we'll work that out. But probably by the next time we do this,
quarterfinal is the 19th and the 20th of October.
Is that the Saturday?
That's Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, so we might actually get one done on a Friday. So. We might speak before then, but until then, hopefully we do.
I'll make a promise. If Ireland get come top of the group, we'll do a podcast. If they don't, I never want to see you again.
You're out.
Never want to see you again.
I was just saying you're going to shave your head or something.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll go and do something.
Okay. Right, well, even if they do lose, I've committed to this, so I'll still be here. Other than that, it should be a bit of crack. But until then, ba-da-ba-ba!